Turn in your Bibles this morning to Romans. Romans chapter 12 is where we're at. Romans 12, the title of the message this morning is Gifts, Rifts, and Shifts. Gifts, Rifts, R-I-F-T-S, and Shifts. We've been talking the last couple of weeks, and as we pointed out last week, there's a transition that took place in Romans 12, and the transition is from national recognition to individual responsibilities. And here's where the wheels can come off the cart if we're not careful. Because everyone craves love and should do so in the Lord. The temptation is to live selfishly, wanting the attention, the accolades, and the acclaim. And this morning we're going to talk about all the other things that we're commanded to do as individuals. Thank God that I'm loved. But that should not be my gauge as to how I love others. Come on, somebody. Thank God I'm loved. I feel loved. How many feel loved this morning? How many have had days when you didn't feel loved? That's not the gauge to loving others. This is the life of sacrifice that you and I have been called to. Come on, somebody. It's not one where we're going to win all the accolades, where we're going to get all the pats on the back, where everybody's going to always take care of us. And somehow, some way, maybe in Christianity, we reached a place where we think that's our right and our privilege. No, the right and privilege of a Christian is to die to self, pick up our cross, and follow Christ. You still with me this morning? Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, God, that your word is rich and alive. And God, we pray, oh God, that that rich, alive word might come forth this morning in such a powerful way, touching our hearts, oh God, challenging us as you always do. We thank you for your faithfulness, God, and your word that never changes. In Jesus' name. Amen. What I want to talk about this morning is very important. The Spirit of the Lord is has taken us to a place where we begin now to talk about others. We talked about ourselves. We talk about national responsibility. Before then, we talked about ourselves, how we're blessed and how we're filled with God and how the responsibilities to keep our eyes on Him. But we want to talk about how we should act towards others. When we do not get what we want, we become resentful sometimes, and a wedge is placed between us that prevents closeness and oneness and unity. I believe one of the things that's kept the church in a broken state is because we've not really come to the place where we're putting everybody first and us last. It's a very difficult thing to do. What I'm saying is easier to say than to do. If I concern myself with you more than me, I'll benefit. But if I concern myself with me more than you, I'll be happy. Come on, let's be real. If I concern myself with me, if I want everything me, I'll reach a place of happiness. It might be only with a few group of people somewhere off in a building somewhere. It might be with just a few people, but I'll get my way. It's a selfish religion. But I want to talk about the absence of unity being the presence of evil. The absence of unity being the presence of evil. Romans 12:3, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Paul begins this portion of teaching with the statement of faith for the gift. Just as he is about to teach, he recognizes that the grace for the gift that he has been given is his own measure of faith. And we need to recognize sometimes we get so familiar with each other, we forget that God is using us in the gifts that he called us to. We get dull about the gifts in somebody else and we see their personality over their gifts. May it never be so. May we see the gifting of God and know each other after the Spirit. If we're going to get anything done as a body, if we're going to get anything done as a church, we need to realize that it takes all of us to build the kingdom of God. Right. If it didn't take all of us, God would only leave one of us. Each generation would have a super Christian and they could just get all the job done. And then when they led people to the Lord, they'd just die. There'd be funerals all the time. Here, come to Jesus and go to heaven. Or there'd just be a few. You'd travel, the traveling band of Christians going around and doing the job and having funerals every day. Here, get saved, go to heaven. Get saved, go to heaven. No, God saved us and kept us on the earth for a reason and a purpose. And to the degree that churches, local churches, begin to recognize again that God has gifted all of us, we're going to see great success in sustained revival and changing an atmosphere.
Amen.
But it takes all of us, not just a few of us, not just a couple of us. There's a recognition. Paul says that each one of us has been given a measure of faith. God had you in mind to fulfill a certain role. And it's up to you to allow the Holy Spirit to use you in the gifts that He blessed you with. Whatever that gift is. And I don't want to hear that you don't have a gift because the Holy Spirit didn't leave you out on His list. I want to help you find out what that gift is and you use it to the fullest extent that God has given it to you. And as you use it and I use it and we begin to use our gifts together, God is glorified. He's a multifaceted God. The Word of God says that the church, the manifest power of God, might be seen by the enemy through the church. All of us. How many are the church today? You're the church. We need each and every one of us to be on key, be on fire, to be on the right place that God has for us. God had you in mind. There's no special dispensation allotted to you. There is no special grace God has given you over anybody else. You are not less than anyone. You are not more than anyone. You are a vessel for Him to use. Period. Levels the playing field, doesn't it?
Sure does.
See, we begin to see that there are giftings and callings. One may have a gift to get up and preach and teach and that kind of thing, but it doesn't make anybody any better than anybody else. And when you build on personality, you destroy on personality. It may take months, it may take a few years, but something is going to start falling apart if you build anything on any personality other than the personality of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is in all of us. Come on, somebody. We're a many-membered body. Woo, glory. See, this is revolutionary because what happens is everybody is valuable in the kingdom of God, and you begin to see that played out in the local church. When people come in, they don't feel like they need to meet anybody with a title. They feel pastored immediately. They feel like they're shepherded immediately because people love them and they know who they are in Jesus. Listen to me. If a church knows who they are in Jesus, it will change a community. Verse 4 says, as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Underline it, highlight it, type it off, hang it on your refrigerator, put it in your car. Begin to realize that you are part of a many-membered body. But all the members don't have the same function. The fact is, it takes many to accomplish what God wants to release in this local church. It takes many to accomplish. It takes all of us. There's a great harvest to bring in. It's going to take every church. Come on, somebody. It's going to take every believer. This last revival that we're promised, this last reaping time that we're promised that all of us will be involved in it if we want to. Now, if you don't want to, that's fine too. You have freedom to sit by and watch the parade go by. But I'd suggest getting on one of the floats. I'd suggest volunteering and saying, God, use me, because it's going to be a glorious time. You will talk about it for eternity together. Recognition of the gifts will put our eyes on the giver. And that's where they should be in the first place. We're so used to the lights, camera, action way of presenting the gospel that we're looking for heroes and heroines. It's just plain folk. It's a faceless generation of people that are going to usher in the presence of God. Glory to God. You read the first century disciples of the apostles. They're called the Antonicene Fathers. N-I-C-E-N-E, Nicene Fathers. You read them. Some of the greatest Christian writings you ever want to read, and there's no name on them. You don't know who it was that wrote. It didn't say, it doesn't have author. It doesn't have who it was or where they lived or what kind of accolades they got. They just wrote about the Lord so that their children and their children's children would be blessed. We don't even know their names, but heaven knows their names. We need to get back to a faceless generation of Christians that want nothing more than the kingdom of God to come on this earth. We are attached to one another in a most unusual way. Yeah. Glory to God. Just think about that. The person you're sitting next to, the person you don't exactly want to sit next to, will probably be your neighbor in glory. You're going to be living with them a long time. Get used to it here. The common ground that we stand on is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. What makes us one? The blood of Jesus Christ. What makes us united? The Holy Spirit of God. What makes us inseparable? The unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I love how the Word says we are individually members of one another. All of us have divine connection. We're connected to Him and in turn connected to one another. Glory to God. That was so evident when we came here just 5 short months ago, just 5 months and a couple of days. Man, we felt like there was a connection immediately, just immediately. Why? Because God put people together for a purpose and a time. We're not disconnected. We're not separated. Not one, but many of one. We're not one of many, but many of one. Together we make up the body of Christ on this earth. Functions are the outworking of an indwelling Holy Spirit. You begin to function in your gift, man, and see how it's a well-oiled machine. The church becomes what it was supposed to. People come in, but they don't go out. It's like a Holy Ghost roach hotel. Enough of this stuff of people coming in and going out, coming in and going out, coming in and going out. Where'd they go? I don't know. They got mad. They're not here. And if the church is functioning like it's supposed to, come on. People will come divinely appointed by God to be here and to grow in the strength of the body. That's what the Bible says. We're individually members of one another. We're not supposed to just have a revolving door on the church. It's a door open to the community, but when they come, they feel like they're home. Turn with me in your Bibles, James chapter 3. Keep your finger in Romans 12. We will come back there, but James chapter 3. This is really Paul in Romans 12. Paul beginning to fuss with us individually so that we'll remember it's not about us, it's about everybody else. It's not about me. Sometimes I wish it were. I would love the world to be just like me. Then I wouldn't have any argument. If y'all like the same food, y'all like the same clothing, and y'all like the same, and we just gotta, wouldn't that be great? If everybody was just like you? No, it's not about me. It's about everybody else. And that's what Jesus was trying to say. That's what Paul's trying to say. That's what Peter's trying to say. And James trying to say. He's trying to say everybody else goes forward and you stay back. Jesus put it like this. He said, the first will be last. And the last first. If everybody's trying to be last, everybody will be first. Don't ask me how it works. You heard the questions I had earlier. James chapter 3 verse 13 says, who is wise and understanding among you? Everybody put their hand up. There you go. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast a lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Now stop just for a minute. What's the definition of selfishness? Demonic. The same time we're praying Holy Ghost prayers in the prayer room, rebuking devils, and we're self-seeking, we're just welcoming them back in. I can see I'm talking to the right people this morning. Do not boast a lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. You want to know the problem with the local church? Problem with the local church is we're trying to get the attention and the spotlight on us. Come on, somebody. Spotlight needs to be on Jesus. Spotlight needs to be on Him. And if I'm thinking of Him, I'm thinking of you, how to get you to Him. How to push you forward so you're blessed, so you're filled, so you're whole, so you're... Come on, somebody. I mean, this is the word we're is it in your Bible, James? And it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Come on, somebody. It's just as natural. You know, when I woke up early, early, early this morning, and my right leg came with me. It did. My little fingers here, see him? Come on, somebody. My whole body came. We're a body. We need each other. If we're missing one part. Oh, come on. We don't want to give place to demons. At the same time that we're arguing and fussing with the demons, get out of here. And we, when we have selfish envy and there's strife or jealousy or ambition, selfish ambition, or we're holding something against somebody, we need to get it right immediately, because the demons have legal right to be in a place where there's not unity. If there's disunity, there's demonic presence. It's what the Bible says. I didn't say that. Look, let's read it again. What's it say there in James? It says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. He said, no, man, never be in the church. It can't be in the church. This is the house of God. It can't be. Yes, it can be. We need to take care of all differences. We need to pay all. We need to. Bottom line. Come on. We need to get rid of all the grief, all the old hurts. You might want to go home, get on the phone, call people and ask their forgiveness. Sorry, I've held something against you for a long time. I just want to tell you. Come on, somebody. All right, if I'm honest with you this morning, can you handle it?
Yeah.
We had a previous church I pastored. We had people, oh my goodness, you were in a church split? Yeah. Come on, how many have been around a church split? If you've been a Christian more than 6 months, you've heard of church splits. Come on. It's a shame that they happen. But man, we had some good people leave just because of some. Who cares what it was? I mean, I do care, but they left. And so about 2 years later, I was in prayer. And God said, I want you to go to each one of their homes and ask their forgiveness. I said, wasn't my fault. I didn't ask him to leave. I was the one in it, right? Go and ask him forgiveness. Oh man, I bawled before the Lord. I said, God, please don't make me do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go to somebody's house and tell them I'm sorry. I didn't do anything to them. Please don't do it. I tried to convince. Anybody ever try to twist God's arm? Cry, uncle. So everybody that would see me, not everybody would see me, but everybody that would see me went to their house and looked them in the eyes. Can you forgive me? Times of refreshing in the, I can't tell you what, when it was done. Oh man, you talk about a pride killer. Woo! When you're looking at somebody and they know what they did. But you're not, no attitude, no. Yeah. Sarcasm. Can you forgive me? Let me pray with you. I love you. And if there's anything you can do, Terry and I are always here for you. Man. Wow. What a. I can't even tell you how close I felt to the Lord when I was able to do that. And I'm not telling you that to pat. Don't pat me on the back. I'm just saying it was hard to do that. It's quiet in here. But if we go, we make peace with everybody. We're at peace with everybody. Ooh, God can move. There's no hindrance anymore. We don't have to rebuke devils. Devils don't have any place to stand. In unity, in love, in complete dedication to the Lord, if I'm putting everybody first, demons have no place to stand. I don't need to do spiritual warfare. I just need to walk out and take the land. Come on, somebody. Look at somebody and say, he's preaching better than I'm saying amen. Come on. Is this where we live? Verse 6 of Romans 12 back. to Romans 12 again. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. In prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith or ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Grace gifts are given to you to be employed, not to the exclusion of others and not to the exclusion of the fruits, but so that he can be glorified. If you are a prophet, if you're used in prophecy, prophesy. Starting next week, we will have a mic up here all the time. We did that one Sunday. We want to continue to do that. All that we're asking is that when you come up, refrain from preaching. If you got a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, a scripture to share, we want to hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. Be open for correction. If there's something that needs corrected, we will address that afterwards. Not for nothing. I mean, you know, let two or three prophesy and the others judge. So we're going to do that, and we're going to have body ministry. We want you to use that. Ministering, serving those that we are called to. If we're called to minister, do it. If you say, boy, there isn't a place for me in the church, I feel called to this ministry, man, come and tell me. Come and talk to me. We'll back you. If you're called to minister to baseball players, we'll send you to the baseball. I don't know. Come on, somebody. Teaching, showing others what he shows you. If the teaching is your gift, there's room for you. There's plenty of things that we can do here. Exhort, do not hold back on cheerleading. Everyone needs a good word. If you're a cheerleader, cheer loudly. If you have a gift of exhortation, exhort for Pete's sakes. Get helping Dave greet people or get, you know, walk around. Come early with your smile and your... Giving, give in obedience and take in reward. Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give to your bosom. If leading, pay attention to direction and help others miss the pitfalls. Mercy, it can really hurt to give second chances to people. But it must be carried out with cheerfulness. If you have a gift of mercy, we need you. I think I'd probably have a mercy gift. My wife's giggling. I mean, I'm just the kind of guy. I mean, if you and I get in a disagreement, we have a fallout, and you come and say, hey, let's make up. I made up. We're moving on. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
That's right.
Okay, that happened yesterday. What are we dwelling on the subject for? Let's move on. I love you. I'll take you at your word. I'm just saying. Use your gift. If you don't know where your gift is, come. I've got all kinds of ways that we can dig in and find your gifts.
Amen.
Main thing is prayer. I'll pray. We'll find out.
Yeah.
You say, well, you know, I'm not good at this or I'm not good at that, but man, I can pound a nail or man, I'm a clean freak. We'll find things for you to do. If not in the church, in the community, we'll back you up. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Ooh, man, right there. I got to preach for the next hour just on those words right there. Let love be without hypocrisy. Don't tell me you love me and talk behind my back.
Amen. Amen.
I don't want to hear it. Yeah. I don't want to hear you love me and then go sneak off in the corner and say, you know, that wreck, I'll tell you. You're a hypocrite, man.
Yeah.
You're two-faced.
Yeah. Amen.
Told Dave not to hand out any tomatoes this morning, so. Come on. If you say you love me, love me.
Yeah.
If we've got something to work out, let's get together and work it out. Yeah. Don't be talking about me or don't be talking about somebody else. Love them. Let love be. You say, well, I've been a Christian a long time. I love everybody. Well, then show it.
Yeah.
Love people for who they are.
Amen.
Not everybody's going to be like you.
Yeah.
In fact, there's going to be some differences that really bother you as you get to know people. Come on, somebody. There's going to be things that they do that just really rub you the wrong way. How many husband and wife say amen to that? I'll tell you what, you want a description of loving despite, just talk to my wife. She loves me despite all my quirks, and buddy, I have lots of them. And her love is without hypocrisy. Love each other. Is this in your Bible? Yes. Let love be without hypocrisy. We pass it on so quickly. We just go on and say, let's read the rest. Abhor what is evil. Now, that word abhor means to hate with everything inside of you. Having total disdain for, to absolutely reject and be repulsed by. Now wait a minute. Didn't we just read in James, every evil thing is there whenever there's self-seeking? Evil. And it says, abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Or cleave, the King James Version says. Cleave means to stick to, associate with, identify with, let nothing questionable be yours, and what is the Lord's, hold on to. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. My friend, if you put others first, you will never be last. An old Chinese proverb says, if you want happiness for an hour, take a nap. If you want happiness for a day, go fishing. Bill said amen to that. If you want happiness for a year, inherit a fortune. If you want happiness for a lifetime, help somebody. Running full steam ahead might get you to your goals, but helping others to get ahead will guarantee your goals. That was me, by the way. Quote, running full steam ahead might get you to your goals, but helping others to get ahead will guarantee your goals. God made me some promises when I came here to Rochester. And I want to get everybody on board that I have a chance and opportunity to speak to. I wondered why God had me in Romans, and here it is. Man, we're in this together.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're in this together. We're going to see some great things together.
Yeah.
Others will come to your aid if you have been an aid to others. Never forget the hands that lifted you, the mouths that blessed you, the feet that led you, and the ears that heard you. Then go and do the same for others. And here's the key. Here is the key to revival. One of the keys to revival. Loving one another so intensely that when we go on the outside, we love them too. Because if we don't understand love in this context, we'll hate the world. We'll hate the world. We'll talk about the world. Oh, the world. America's going to hell in a handbasket. Come on, somebody. We don't want them to go to hell. We don't want our nation. How many love our nation? How many love these people in our... See, we need to show them love. But if we're talking about each other and we're self-seeking and we've got confusion, we've got all kinds of things happening in the church, and churches are never able to stay together. One church is growing, another church is falling apart, and then these people get a wild hair and they go over to this church and it grows, and that church falls apart, and then they go to that church and the community's all tizzy, all upset. What's going on? This church and that church. We don't even love each other. How can we love you? The world says, I'll stay home and watch reruns of Rifleman. Come on! Romans 12:14. Now here's where Paul gets really, really picky. He says, bless those who persecute you. Wait a minute, Paul. You didn't grow up where I grew up, man. You mess with me, you mess with my whole family. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Now he's still talking about the same thing. He didn't change subjects. Doesn't say, it may say in your, I don't know, I don't have all versions in front of me. Mine's a New King James. But you possibly could have a version that says, rejoice with those who rejoice that you love and weep with those who weep that are your best friends. Anybody have that version here today? No. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice, everyone. Weep with those who weep, everyone. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. I had somebody visit church a few years ago, came visiting, and it was the second time there, and he handed me his resume. I like his resume. He said, these are the churches that I served in the past. I was a deacon here. I just wanted to let you know what caliber of a guy that's visiting the church today. Second time I met the guy. A true story. You know, I had an opportunity to sit down with him. I said, man, you need to ease up just a bit. Let's get to know each other. I want to know you before I know what you can do. If we love everybody, if we do everything we can to love everybody, God will promote us to where we need to be. It'll just happen. That's the promises of God. Yes and amen. His promises I read in my Bible are yes in Christ and amen in Christ. If we're doing what we're supposed to do, if we make this thing work together, glory to God, things begin to happen, altars are full, people are being saved, churches are growing, but it's because everybody's doing their part equally. Verse 17 is really, I wish I had it in another version. Repay no one evil for evil. Wait a minute. What about that? Did I read back there an eye for an eye? Tooth for a tooth? That doesn't jive. Come on, there are people sitting in here this morning that the Holy Spirit's fussing with you right now. Let me get personal just for a minute. Whatever that person did for you or those people did to you, forgive them now. You can't pay them back. You will not get satisfaction. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with some men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, it doesn't say some men, it says all men. Live peaceably with all men. You say, but you don't know my neighbor, you don't know my coworker, you don't know what that person did, you don't know what kind of person that person continues to be. No, I don't. God does. And God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Do you have that in your Bible?
Yes.
If he is thirsty, give him a drink. You say, what does that have to do with the church? Everything. If the church, listen, let's leave the judgment up to the courthouse. That's why we have human government. But in God's economy, He'll take care of it. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. It might not be on this side of heaven, but it will be. Everybody's going to get theirs. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. But it's not up to me to make sure that you reap. Oh, Jesus. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now, this coals of fire, let's get that straight, what that is. In the old days, in the biblical times, if your fire went out, you went over to your neighbor's and got the embers from his fire and put it in a vessel, and you put it on your head and carried it back to your tent. So that the fire that was out in your tent is now there so you can cook and your family can stay warm. That's what the writer is talking about. The Holy Spirit was saying, you'll heap fire. We think we're heaping fire on their heads so that they'll feel bad. No, we're blessing them. Come on. Did you ever read that and go, yeah, get them. Fire on the head. Yeah. I like that. Coals of fire. Yeah. Yeah, I'll be nice. I'll feed you. I'll give you a drink. Because I'm going to heap coals of fire. You're going to pay for this food. No, what it means is we're blessing people. What it means is we're blessing them. Heap coals of fire on their head so that they're warm, so that they're blessed, so that they see Jesus. So that, for Pete's sakes, one day you might see him up here at the altar, the meanest, cruelest. Somebody said they're so crooked when they die they'll have to screw them in the ground. Come up here right here at the altar and get saved. And be your brother in Christ. Be your sister in Christ. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with evil. Oh, I'm sorry. It says, well, that doesn't even make sense. You know what do you mean? Overcome evil with good. What sense does that mean? I can't be nice to somebody who's thick-headed and mean and cantankerous. Yes. And if God said it, it'll work. How many of you have ever tried it? It is one thing to be asked to love those who God has made family, and quite another to do so with your enemies. That's where love is tested. The bar has been lifted quite far out of reach and must be impossible to accomplish. Jesus never said this was going to be easy. He said, love one another. He said, fulfill the law of Christ by carrying one another's burdens. That bar is up here. It's impossible to do. It's impossible to love somebody that keeps pounding on you and cursing you. It's impossible to do. It's impossible to love them. But God says, you know how you overcome that person? Love them. You know how you overcome them? Feed them. Honor them. But you can't do one without the other. And Paul realizes that when he's writing. First he says, come on, let's go back. First he says, all the way back, chapter 12, Romans 12:3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now he says, think about yourself. Verse 4, for we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So now we're thinking about everybody else, and we're loving one another. He goes on to say, in verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. There's a list in Peter that talks about add to your faith, faith, virtue, virtue. How many remember that? What's the top one on that rung? Brotherly love. So now we're thinking about loving everybody within the body. Love, the agape love. By the way, that love, let love, that's agape love, not brotherly love, the love of God. You cannot walk in the love of God and gossip, backbite, slander, and conjecture. You can't do it. You cannot walk in the love of God and talk about somebody. Can't do it. It's impossible. You might say that you love, but you're just full of hooey. And if we don't learn those steps, and the church has not, I'm not criticizing, I love the body of Christ, listen, but we've got to somehow, you know, if you've got a flat tire, stop and change it for Pete's sakes. I mean, if there's something wrong, fix it. And there's a bunch of frustration. I'm not the only one that sees it. We see it in the body. So what's wrong with the body of Christ? Why can't we grow? Why can't we be effective? One of the things is we've not learned to love one another and to accept one another and to absolutely refuse to have anything bad to say about each other. Absolutely refuse it. Refuse it in your spirit. Refuse it in your mind. I don't care what you see somebody doing. You see somebody sinning, pray for them. You see somebody sinning, make friends with them. Help them out of it. Maybe it's a weakness in them. Don't criticize them. Don't poke your fingers at them. Come on, somebody. When we embrace and love one another, we make a commitment. If we can't do it with the 30 or 40 or 50 people that are here, what makes us think we can touch anything outside? We can't do it. It's impossible. If we don't love one another, we'll never do what the Word of God says to do. Love your enemies, overcome evil with good, because we haven't even learned how to overcome good with good. I'm fussing with you. I'm picking on you. But we have got to stop. I mean, take every... Well, that brings a whole new meaning to where it says, take every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. It means I'm not going to receive bad news about you anymore. I just refuse to. I refuse to hear bad things. I don't care what you did yesterday is between you and God. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear bad things. I just want to hear that you love God. I love you. I'll do anything I can to make you successful. Will you help me? And in that kind of atmosphere, problems come to the surface. In that kind of atmosphere, people say, can you forgive me? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. If he does it on this side of heaven, we've won a brother or sister. You're going to see it. I tell you, I prophesy over the next year or so, you're going to see some people you never thought would ever be back in the body of Christ back. You're going to see them. You're going to see backsliders coming back. You're going to see people that say, you said, man, I gave up on them a long time ago. They're going to be leading people to Christ left and right. It's going to happen because God wants, I believe with all my heart, I'm not the only one preaching this today. I believe that there's revelation coming to the body of Christ that we've got to get back to loving one another in a correct way. Help me. We go to a whole new level next week. Because I can't believe what I read in my Bible. I can't believe it's there in verse 1 of chapter 13. Look at it. This is where we're going next week. I hope you read ahead. I hope you get a hold of it. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Yeah. How dare him put that in there? I'm still getting used to loving you. And now I gotta obey governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God except after 1996. But you see how good the Holy Spirit is? And listen, I'm being facetious a little, but I'm being serious. If we haven't learned to love one another, we'll never love our enemies. If we haven't learned to love our enemies, we'll never be subject to authorities. If we're not subject to authorities, we could pray to the cows. We can pray. Listen, we can lay each other hands on each other till we're bald. We can be on our knees so long we need knee replacements. We could pray in here till the light bill for the lights. We could pray in here 24/7 until our bill for Duke Energy is $5,000, and we'll put no dent in the kingdom of the devil. None. We won't touch him. If we don't learn to love one another and abhor that which is evil and honor one another and love our enemies and be subject to authorities. What's it mean? It means we'll walk, talk, and act like Jesus did.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Then we have prayer meetings.
Yeah.
Man, devil says, man, that church over there, we don't want them to pray. Coming a day, and I believe it's here, we're going to see the power of God flow through this area in a powerful way, because we got a hold of the Word and we're obedient. We're good children. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, stir us, God. I'm so convicted of little nuances and thoughts I've had against people. Father, please forgive me. Please forgive me, Lord. God, if there's anything that's between me and anyone, Lord, settle it now. Father, I don't want the devil at my door. I don't want him fussing with my stuff and messing with me because I've been disobedient in any way. So, Lord, forgive me. Come on, pray this prayer with me. Forgive me, Lord, for my attitude. Lord, forgive me for holding anything against anyone, God. Lord, I thank you that you forgave me. And you don't remember any of my sins, and that's the way I'm supposed to be towards others, Lord. God, it's come to this. You snuck up on us here in Romans 12. You just snuck up on us, God, and you hit us right between the eyes. But Father, we are wanting to be just like you. We wanted to be just like you. We want to fulfill when in Genesis, where you said, Lord, you said you would make us in your own image. And Lord, we want to look like you. When we look in the mirror, we want to look just like Jesus. Help us, Lord. Get nitty and gritty. We'll do it, Father. You can count on us. Devil, we come against you in Jesus' name. You have no authority. Any condemnation, we bind it in Jesus' name. There therefore is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Everyone here is children of God and are children of God, and we just command the devil's hands off of them in Jesus' name. The eyes would be open to the love that you have. God, as we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, while I'm at it and praying, Father, I just pray for those that are supposed to be here that have left because of hurts or pains. Father, bring them back. Bring them back here to new life, oh God. Or if they can't, get them to a church, Father. Yes. Heal them. Make them the best that they can be in you, Father. Yes. Each and every one. Lord, thank you for your word. Help us be obedient children in Jesus' precious name. If you're here today and you said, man, I have not been playing with a full deck. I'm just out to lunch. I've been religious. I don't know if I died tonight, if I would be welcomed in heaven. I just want you to know that God loves you and that He forgives you everything. All you've got to do is confess. That's all God is asking you to do is confess. And if you've been away from God, I want to give you opportunity. Everybody is praying. Nobody's looking at you, waiting for you to raise your hand or look at you, or we don't want to draw attention. We just want to merely pray for you. This is a new day and a new start in your life. If that's you, I want you to slip your hand up. I want you to slip. I want to pray for you this morning. Well, Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for this dear one. Father, I just pray, God, that they would feel so welcomed by you, God. We come against every divisive act of the enemy that would try to hold that forgiveness up. Father, cleanse them, wash them with your word, Father, this morning. Let it go down deep in their spirits, Father. We thank you, Lord, for accepting our cries of repentance, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you don't remember as far as the east from the is from the west. You separate us from our sin. Lord, we love you this morning. We ask your blessing on each and every one in Jesus' name. Amen. Now preach back to me just for a minute. Come on, I didn't hold you too long. The roast is still good in the oven. Glory to God. Come on, preach back to me. What's God saying to you? Yes. Yes.